to advertise, email podcast@thisisvechi.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Din bad! Rasit! Di! Hello, chillers! Rustin back. Oh, thank you. Okay, we know the slogans, right? We know the slogans of the chillers. Our station. Enda. Yo. Okay. Are we ready, guys? Okay. What we're gonna do is, at the count of three, 1, 2, 3, open the curtain! Righto! Okay. We all know why we're here, the best podcast in the continent. Featuring the man that cancelled Mubango, one man. And made Chivenda famous by himself. And made the whole country say, yeah. You guys make me so proud. Okay, so I'm gonna need your help on this one. I'm gonna introduce the crew. You know them, you love them, right? Yeah. When I call their name, lose your minds. Angiti? Yeah. First up on stage, the first lady of the podcast. Ghost Lady! Okay. Next up, this man has got pun for days. For days. One of the funniest men I know, one of the kindest men I know, one of the most talented DJs I know. Put your hands together for Sol Pandura! Ladies and gentlemen, the man of the moment, the top chiller himself, welcome, Makaiba Mukwebo, aka Mekchi, Enda! Let's get this show on the road!
Yeah!
Enda!
Wow.
Rusty, dusty! Fucking hell, man.
Fucking hell. This is crazy, man.
Right?
Oh, my word.
Full house.
Wow.
No fool's house.
Hey, are we ready to start? Are we good, Black Studio? All right, cool. Let's start, man. Hinda Varebe. We're coming at you live from Rustenburg Civic Center.
Yeah, man. Full house, isn't it?
Sold out, baby.
Full house, isn't it?
Many, like many wishes you could.
She's got an empty house at the moment.
Can you come?
So I feel like this is my second home because, as you guys know, you know, I married a girl from Rustenburg.
Oh, yeah.
My cows are around somewhere here. I gotta say, we've been around the country, and I don't know about you, Saul, but for me, personally, I think Rustenburg Northwest has some of the prettiest ladies in the country.
Yeah, most def.
Would you agree, Panduka?
Yeah, it's the platinum level. No, definitely. From the crowd and the few that I saw walk in. Yeah. I'm fine in the zam.
Ghost Lady, how would you rate in terms of like prettiness in the country? Which province would you say? What's your top three?
My top three?
Yeah.
Well, obviously you get, okay, let's put aside Cape Town, right? But I am impressed with Rustenburg because it's such a calm, like it's my first time. All this time I've always gone to Sun City. I've never come this side. Yeah. So this place has got this tranquility. It's just calm. Like, I'm not even saying the dust, maybe they're by the mines, but rusty, is not good for the city. Rustenburg is so tranquil, so sweet. I love it, Shep. The mountains, oh.
Wait, why are you putting Cape Town aside? I don't get it.
No, because it's always a winner. If you want to do a thing of, no, like in the country, which is the best city, Cape Town is the winner. Wait, no, guys.
Were we speaking about the beauty of the city or the women?
We're talking about the women.
We're talking about the women.
Oh, you're talking about the women.
Yeah, the women.
It's KZN.
Nah, KZN is thickness, though.
what's your top three, Panduka?
Women?
Yeah, in SA.
In SA. I'm a guy who likes thickness, so it's going to be KZN first.
Whoa.
Okay.
Eastern Cape, and then Northwest. Ah, yeah. New number three, I'm fine, man.
But, you know, one thing I can tell you about ladies from the Northwest, right?
Yep.
From my experience.
Yeah.
They don't know how to say, I love you, you know?
How?
Because I'll tell you a story. This is a true fact, right?
Yeah.
So I'm busy with my wife, right?
Busy in what way?
We're in the bedroom, yeah?
Oh, okay. Cool.
So I got my best strokes, right?
Okay, cool.
Like I'm going in hard, right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, you know, accommodate her and speak in her language. So I'm like, you know, we're rocking. We're busy there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, baby, kia ora ata.
Oh, sweet.
Are. Oh! Oh! Kiriya, baby, kya orat? Amme.
Amme, what does amme mean?
It's like, oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Everything is amme.
For real.
But which ethnicities do you think complement each other in the country? Because, like, I think Venders and Tswana complement each other. Because our CEO, he's married to a Tswana lady as well.
Oh!
Which ones do you think complement each other?
Yo.
Being biased, then Zulus and Swatis.
Zulus and Swatis.
I feel like it's too close to home.
It's part of the Ngunis. Yeah, basically.
Oh, but you married like that, right? You married someone who's Swati.
Exactly.
And it's working out for you guys.
Definitely.
Damn, man.
Hey, do you know the story about how she got married?
No. How did she get married?
Mnaga woke up and was like, yeah, you are my wife now. Done.
Wait, you didn't go down on one knee? Didn't like pop the ring and stuff?
No, he paid lobola.
Wow.
That was a sign. That was going down on his knee.
Yeah, but sometimes that's what really matters, you know what I mean? Just tell the person what you want, get it done, do it properly. As opposed to all the drama, the antics, and then 3 months doesn't even last. You know what I mean? I feel like it's the thing itself must work.
You ghost lady, how's Mnaga?
Yeah, are you renewing vows?
Well, we're supposed to. I'm sure when we hit the 15th year mark, I think we wanted to with the TIFF after 10 years, but we didn't, which was last year. Our 10th year anniversary was last year.
Wow, 10 years.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ghost Lady.
Yo, guys. So maybe at 15 or 20 years, we'll celebrate.
I want to introduce our next guest, right? This guy. So I'm driving, I think I was going to the East End or something, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm listening to UJFM. He was doing breakfast at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this guy's fucking dope,
yeah. Right?
And then I called my program manager. I was still at YFM at the time. And I was like, yo, guys, you got to get this guy, bro. This guy is fire. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, within a month, they got him. And he took my job after they fired me.
If you're not taking people's jobs, you are take people. Other people are taking.
You know what I mean? So when they fired him from my firm, I was like, yeah.
Wait, man. So did you regret not having called him now that he replaced
no,
you?
No. I mean, it was just like...
irony.
Know, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It was a show I put my name on. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of UFM Breakfast Show, the one and only DJ Ankle Tag.
Malume.
Malume Pompo. Hey, Penduka.
No, we are aware of you, man. We are aware of you.
It's a collision podcast now.
It's a coalition, this one. A podcast of national unit.
Is it my God, bro?
Yeah, I think so. What he doesn't tell you is that he told me, said that I was fired. But you said, yeah. Anyway, Ghost Lady, you said you're enjoying Rustenburg so far.
I have.
Welcome. You said you haven't seen the dusty, rusty part.
No, I haven't.
We're going to take you to Coconut Lounge after this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, but anyway, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me. Himda. How not kakai.
Bro, how did you get the name Malume Pompo?
Sure, you're starting there. How did I get the name Malume Pompo?
Yeah.
You know what? It's an accent thing, right?
Wait, can you guys hear him?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Clean.
So it's actually an accent thing, right? What happened was I started on Y, and everybody was excited. There's this new DJ, and it was DJ Ankle Tap, right? Ankle Tap. So they thought I was saying Ankle Tap. Right, that's where Malume started. Because my programs manager, Tumelo, he couldn't understand at the time. I joined, and I'm this 21-year-old white guy on YFM, and callers started calling in, and they're like, sure, Malume. And they're like, where does this Malume thing come from? Like, how can this guy? And then they realized it's because ankle sounds like uncle, right? So it's Ankle Tap. And then, as you know, boom, boys.
Boom.
Boom, boom.
But this thing evolved over time, right? Then one call in, they're like, no, sure. Pompo, then it evolved volley because you know the company.
Keep cutting.
Yeah, you keep cutting.
It keeps cutting. No?
Yeah,
that's your sound the mic.
Ah, Spiway.
They say they're busy fixing it. Yeah.
Oh, right. They're fixing it. All right, cool.
So yeah, it kept evolving. Came Malume Tap, Malume Pompo, then Tivoli. For me, that was the weirdest one. It took a while to understand why they were calling me Tivoli. But if you know TV, right? Tivoli, what do they sell at Tivoli?
Taps.
So yeah, that's where the name comes from. Can I have Saul's mic?
Simpio, you should have just said you wanted to be on stage.
Yo, listen, let him use my mic. Oh, are you on now?
Are you on now?
Apparently I'm on now.
Okay, you're
perfect.
Okay.
Much better. Perfect.
So a lot of people were shocked when you left YFM because you're like an ancestor there, you know? why did you leave YFM, bro?
You know what? I actually played myself. If you want the true story, I played myself, right? Firstly, I am an ancestor of YFM. How many years did you do, Saul?
Damn, bro. I didn't do long. Because like I went to Big Brother, then when I came out...
You went to Big Brother, then you took a bath, and then...
Well, Puma Wonka Mans. That were known as YFM. Yeah, but maybe like 4 or 5 years.
So I did 13 years at Y. But you, as you know, in radio, we live on one-year contracts, right? Except if you're the steering. If you're the steering of the station, they secretly give you longer deals, but they're like, don't tell anyone. Like, be sad every March when everyone else is sad. They're, oh, we're getting a new contract. Oh, we're getting a new contract. Just pretend, eh? Meanwhile, you're on like a 4-year deal, but you're like, ish, I hope.
You got a 4-year deal at Y, bro?
No, no, no. First, I got a 5-year deal.
No way.
Damn, bro.
I got a 5-year deal, and then we extended it by 2.
So amen.
So 7 of the 13. Yeah, you see? So when, and this is why I say I played myself, because when we were extending, I said to, and I've got such a good relationship with Hasina, the CEO of Y. She said to me, are you going to stay? What are we going to do? And I said to her, 2 more years. Like, give me 2 more years.
Did they give you the contract in the lift? You know there's no cameras.
Yeah, no. No proof. No cameras in the lift. So I said to her, 2 more years. They gave me a 2-year contract. And when that contract was coming to an end, I don't think I realized, and we do this. We do this in relationships when you put timelines on things. You don't realize that when you give someone a timeline, they make plans, guys. Like they... If you tell someone I'm leaving on Sunday, they make plans for Monday,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when we got into that contract discussion, they were like, all right, listen, we actually don't really want you to go. We'd like to offer you this. And it was a different show. It wasn't Breakfast, right? So my initial reaction was like, what do you mean you're taking me off Breakfast show? Like, how are you taking me off Breakfast? They're like, you said you were going, so we made plans, you know?
Jeez.
I was like, hectic. Okay. And then that's when the UFM opportunity came up. My old mentor, we all know him, Tumelo from Y, he moved across. And yeah, I guess it was time. Plus, I also, it was the truth. I did say when I joined Y that I was going to do 12 years.
Yeah.
I pushed 1 year longer than that, youth station. So I think the timing for me to leave was right. A lot of people feel like I was fired, but no, unlike Mac, I wasn't actually fired from Y. But yeah, all things come to an end, as they say.
Who listens to UFM? Who listens to his show?
Oh, wow.
Ah.
Quite a lot of people. Well, a few.
Not a lot, but it's something, you know?
Yeah, it's something,
hey,
man.
The front row doesn't count. My co-host is in the front row. She put her hand up, it doesn't count.
So the craziest thing is, I used to listen to you when you did the YFM Breakfast show, and I don't know, there was a shift, there was a change, because obviously you smashed your co-host, right? And you guys...
Hey, man.
Wait.
Hey, man.
Which one?
Candace Kardashian.
Ah, you smashed Candace Kardashian, bro.
And then, I think the last year, they broke up, and you could pick up the fights on air.
That's why you don't fuck your co-host, man.
What happened there, bro?
So you're saying you could pick that up from listening?
Yeah. We could pick up this.
Once a week. You tell me. What did it sound like?
It sounded very bizarre, dog.
No, look, I don't
you
know.
You could tell there was tension. You could tell there was tension.
But there's always tension.
Yeah, especially if you smash your co-host, of course.
Damn, bro.
So what happened with you and Candace?
I cannot confirm nor deny. I believe there's a statement. Mr. Jazik released a statement. They released a statement.
Bro, that's like the number one rule not to do, because you're going to be with this person every single day.
Yeah.
COVID, dog.
COVID happened.
Wait, y'all were doing the show in bed, from home.
They said work from home. They said work from home. So what must you do?
Wait. Because of COVID, you guys got closer and smashed during that period. During lockdown.
I never said we smashed.
Yeah.
He said we smashed.
And I never lied.
And you
I
never denied. And you never denied.
I released a statement.
That's not the only thing you released. Now that's a statement.
No, No, but be honest, Tab. We really want to know what happened.
Yeah, man.
Just be honest.
You know, we're very good friends, right?
Yeah.
So as with any relationship, I think that's why when it comes to radio, people change their co-hosts or their team so often, right? Like there's maybe a 3 or 4 year life cycle. And even if there wasn't a personal relationship, which in situations like COVID, like your team is all you had, right? We couldn't go out, we couldn't go anywhere. So there's very like close relationship. And there's always going to be tension. I've had other members of the show leave. My relationship with Jess B, who was my co-host prior to that, that became a toxic relationship. I think that's the story of radio, right? When things off-air are causing on-air tension. Because people always, you listen to radio, right? You listen, yeah?
Yeah, they still want to know. You haven't gotten to, you know.
Take a sip if you smashed.
Yeah. Damn. He took a gulp. He did more than smash. He took a gulp.
Smash Africa. So I think that's the case in radio. You get close with someone, then you do a show together. But what people don't realize is you're just listening to radio, right? But there's those off-air moments. And when off-air moments become super quiet, super awkward, at the point where you're no longer taking off your headphones and having a conversation with someone while the music's playing,
yeah.
What are you going to do, right?
How many years into the show did you guys then start, like, the smash?
Hey, man, what is this? Is this Emmanuel now? I know I work for ETV, but yeah.
No, I'm curious.
SMS will pawn to 350-50 is coming next.
No, I'm curious. It's a valid question. Or months?
I don't know, about a year in.
Jeez.
Oh.
And then the show was how long? Like, eventually you guys worked together for how long?
Five. We worked together for four or five years.
Oh. Shucks.
Yeah, it was a really short stint.
Legend.
We traveled with them to Durban that time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You guys were co-host producers. Your husband drove us.
Yes.
You are divorced. What happened there, bro?
Damn, sorry, man.
What happened with the divorce?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. That's an interesting... No, not actually. That happened after. So with the divorce, it was a bit of a crazy one. I guess the easy answer is for me to say it was a toxic relationship from the start.
Yeah.
And I think I proposed way too quickly. So I asked her to marry me after 6 months of dating. 6 months of dating, I asked her to marry me. And the relationship was toxic. Like, there was a lot of fighting. There was a lot of substance abuse. There was a lot of...
Oh, you guys were on drugs, yeah?
Yeah, there was drug use. There was a lot of alcohol. I think the most prominent substance was probably alcohol.
Well, what drugs are we talking about? Cocaine?
Cocaine.
Yeah,
wow.
Party drugs, you know? Yeah, ecstasy, go clubbing, that kind of stuff.
Amen.
Wow. So, and what happened was... I came home from work one day, and we'd been partying the night before, and I got home, and she just had made her mind up, and she said, I want to go to rehab. So I said to her, absolutely, I'll support this. If you want to go to rehab, that's cool. And we found her a rehab facility. She checked in, and if you've ever had a loved one go to rehab, you'll know that, like, the first 7 or 10 days, there's no contact, right?
Mm.
No, not from your family, not from anyone. And at the first visitation, I came through, I brought flowers, I saw her. She was doing a 21-day stint, right?
So you're not with her?
No, I'm not with her. She's in her own rehab. And normally they would recommend, if couples used substance together or did whatever, they'd never say that you go to the same rehab. You'd
gotcha.
Go to separate rehabs.
Yes.
So I visited her, all was going well, and she was supposed to come out on the 15th of February. I remember I had the discussion with her, and I was like, can't you come out one day early?
Oh.
Can you give me a mic?
Yeah,
no,
I think you're fine now.
Yeah, you're fine.
My back.
Yeah.
So she was supposed to come out on the 15th of Feb, but...
Oh, come on,
guys,
man.
It's a battery.
Yeah. You use mine for now. Guys, I need a mic.
There we go. That's a bit better.
Yeah.
So after, she was supposed to come out on the 15th, and I said to her, can't you come out on the 14th? It's Valentine's Day. Perfect day for you to come out. And no, she said she'd ask, but they said, no, you have to do the full 21 days. You come out on the 15th. On the day of the 14th, which was Valentine's Day, I got a phone call. I got a phone call from her psychiatrist, and they said, listen, she is signing herself out. She's signing something called an RH, refuse hospital treatment, an RHT.
Yeah.
So she's checking herself out of rehab. There's nothing we can do. She's hysterical. There's been an incident that's happened. We're not sure what that incident is. We can't speak on that incident. Can you come to the rehab?
Yeah.
So I went, I got flowers on the way. I'm like, cool, I'm picking her up. She's checking out today. It's Valentine's Day. So there I am. I'm standing in the rehab parking lot with my flowers like this. My car's parked on the other side. And I see her coming through and she's pushing her big bag. And she walks through with her bag. She walks straight up to me. And before I could say, hello, what's going on? Why are you checking out a day early? The first words that came out of her mouth were, I want a divorce.
Whoa. Wow.
The first words.
Damn.
Now, you can imagine, I'm standing there, I've got flowers in my hand. I'm like, yeah? Divorce? How? Oh, you called me here from work for this. So what had happened is that she'd actually met someone inside the rehab.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
She met a guy in rehab, and her and this guy were having an inappropriate relationship in rehab. And when they catch you doing something like that, it becomes like a thing, right? You're not supposed to have contact with other members in rehab. So that was what sparked her signing this paper saying I'm out, because they were going to separate those two people.
Oh.
They were going to separate those two people. And so this only happens when the therapist pulls me one side. They're like, okay, well, I'm going to give you a bit of context.
Yeah, what's happening?
There's another guy on the inside, and we had to separate the two of them because it was getting inappropriate.
Was it Jay Molly?
It definitely wasn't.
Oh,
he only just checked in. He's on day 4 of 21, bro. He's on day 4. So, yeah, she asked for the divorce. And from there, she never really, like, changed her mind. I remember one of the toughest things in that early phase was, while she was in rehab, they've got this thing on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, where you... So let's say your wife is in rehab.
Yeah.
You can come for a therapy session. It's for families of addicts, right?
Oh.
You come so that they can help you with how to, you know, assimilate when they come back into, you know, the real society, world. How do you help this person? So I decided, this happened in the week, and then the Saturday rolled on. I'm like, I'm going to go to the family session, even though she's checked out of rehab. They still know me. And I was going there to maybe, like, find out more information about, like, what the hell happened while she was in here. And what I never expected was she was there. Remember, she had checked out. I arrived there and I found her there visiting the guy.
Yeah.
Because it's also visitation on a Saturday, so she was...
Oh, she became the family now.
She was visiting the guy.
Damn, bro.
They literally said to me, they're like, don't freak out, but she's here. I'm like, no, man. She checked out on Wednesday. They're like, no, she's here. Like, shit. She's visiting.
She's addicted to this guy.
Addiction, right? They call it addiction. There's the pun.
Fucking hell.
But that being said, I mean, I think it's always easy in a situation where there was cheating, right?
Yeah.
And this is how I know I've healed and I've grown from it, is that... You can be mad at someone, and you can say, oh, they cheated on me, they did whatever, and you can blame the other person all you want, but it took me a long time, took me a couple of years to work through it.
Yeah.
But what I did realize is you need to understand that the relationship was toxic. Mm. And if not for that one thing, it was going to be something else, it was going to be something else, it was doomed for failure from the start.
How is she now? Oh, sorry.
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
She married the guy. She's happily married, and they've got 3 kids.
Whoa.
Three.
Wow.
Damn, but wait for it. We've been divorced 4 years, and there's 3 kids. But I'm happy for her because I don't think, and I mean it when I say I'm happy for her, because
if not for the one thing, it was going to be something else. Yeah. The relationship was always doomed.
But my thing is, you saying that the relationship was toxic from the start, then why ask her to marry you? Like, what was going on?
Because, and I think this happens to a lot of people, I thought that would save the relationship.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that if we're fighting and we're in this relationship, if I take this to the next step, if we formalize this, I spent R1 million on the wedding, by the way.
Whoa.
R1 million on the wedding.
Damn.
And we lasted 11 months, right? But it comes down to that thing. We think we can save it.
Yeah.
So think of how many abusive, toxic relationships take that next step.
Did you ever go into rehab?
I did. I did. Oh. I went to Akiso, so I guess you can call that a rehab. But I didn't go for like substance abuse or anything like that. I went for depression, burnout, suicidal thoughts. I had a suicide attempt.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
That's what brought me. When I had the failed suicide attempt, in that moment, I realized I gotta drive myself to a rehab center and I gotta check in.
What happened? How did you try to do
it? So, what I did was after, and I think a lot of people do this, I rebounded, right? So in that fragile state after my divorce, I rebounded with someone else.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you rebound with someone else after a serious trauma like that, you become seriously attached. Like, this has to work now, you know? Like, that didn't work, but now I'm in love with this new person.
They asked you if it was Candace.
Hey?
They asked you if it was Candace you rebounded with. Okay.
It was.
Oh, damn.
So I guess when you work with someone, that makes it harder, right?
Yeah.
And when that relationship came to an end, and not for any funny reason, right? Like, that breakup was a very normal breakup. You know, when just two people are like, this thing's not working, and let's be friends. You know,
it's
the
okay.
whole, let's
boom,
be friends.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
But you actually end up being friends. Like, but losing that, plus I think then all the weight that it had been building up from the divorce kind of hit me. Yeah. And then there was the pandemic. You're isolated. You're not allowed. You know, like, lockdown. We're not making money anymore. We can't gig. We can't go out. I just felt completely hopeless.
Hmm.
And I think when you do what we do for a living, like you do radio, right? Especially when you do morning radio, is I got to the stage where my depression was so bad that people will always say, oh, but you didn't sound depressed when you were on radio.
Yeah.
You sounded so happy. That was all the happiness I had to give in a 24-hour cycle.
Jeez.
I saved it for those 4 hours of radio.
Wow.
And I just poured it. I switched off. I'm on air. But when the show would end at 9 o'clock and I'd go home, I was depressed. I couldn't get out of bed.
Mm.
I couldn't go to gigs. So it got to the point where I actually attempted suicide. Well, my practice attempt failed.
Whoa.
My practice attempt failed. And that was, I had that like realization moment.
Yeah, but what did you do? Did you take pills or what?
No. So I was going to use a rope. I was going to sort of hang myself. So, and I know it's a funny podcast, and we're gonna make jokes and we're gonna go lighthearted, but I think in light of current events, like, you know, let's just have a serious discussion about this, because what happens when someone you love is depressed, and they always make the statement and say, check in on your friends, you know, like check in on people that are depressed. But that doesn't help. You can't check in and ask, are you okay? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Sometimes you just need people to be there for you. So my advice to anyone, if you think that you've got a friend that's struggling, hit them up and be like, yo, can I come over and watch a movie? We don't have to talk. Can I come over? My stove's not working. Can I just cook dinner at your house? And like, we don't have to talk, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't have that. I just thought about ending my life.
Yeah.
But I'm this happy guy on radio. I'm this incredible, funny, Malume Pompo, Malume Tivoli on radio. But I get home and I just want to end it all.
Yeah.
And I think the saddest part is when you start, once you've decided how you're going to do it, you start looking for where you're going to do it and who's going to find you. Like when you start thinking about writing a note or doing whatever. So I kind of, for a month or so, walked around my house looking for a place to hang from, right? I was like, is that strong enough?
Oh, my God.
Is that not? And And it is funny, but like I got to the point where I bought the rope and I was like, I'm going to do this. And I went into the garage, right? And by the way, this failed attempt cost me 11,000 rand.
You broke the garage door.
Because I walked in, you know the electric garage, right? When you got the big wooden electric garage?
Yeah.
You know the steel thing?
Oh, yes.
With the machine, when you press the button, it goes up. I thought I can loop the rope around that thing. And then I thought, okay, well,
jeez, bro.
Let me just check if it can hold my weight.
That's crazy.
So from the ladder, I just jumped off holding it.
Oh, my
and I
word.
Ripped the entire garage thing. Like, I had to buy a new garage door. Like, it completely pulled down. And in that moment, I sat and cried for maybe 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just sat on that floor with my broken garage door around me and I just sobbed. And I realized in that moment that I needed help.
Yeah.
I was like, this is hectic.
Jeez,
man. Yeah.
You know, so many people around me, so many people in the industry don't speak about their mental health.
Yeah.
So many people that were close to me, you know, I was very close to WHP. I was close to Ricky Rick. I was close to other people that went on to take their own life. And in that moment, they say the penny drops, and the penny dropped, right? But 11,000 rand penny from the roof that landed. And I won't lie, I didn't... Such is the nature of depression. I didn't fix the garage for about 8 months.
Yeah.
And then every time someone's like, what's wrong with the garage door? You got to come up with a different story.
Yeah.
Be like, yo, there was an earthquake, dog.
What kind of door was it? Was it suicide doors?
Hey, where's the button? You don't have that.
Damn, bro.
But anyway, on a closing note on that part, like, I just want to reiterate, we don't talk about it enough, but just be there for the people that you care about.
Yeah.
Whether they're depressed, whether they're not depressed. And, you know, sometimes just be there in their space.
Did the whole Jay Molly thing trigger you?
I won't say that it triggered me. The Jay Molly thing didn't trigger me. But I watch what's going on with Jay Molly. And I'll be the first to say, I don't fucking like Jay Molly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Him and I had beef over some other stuff, right?
Yeah. Whoa.
But all of that means nothing, right? It means nothing. I actually care that he survives.
Yeah.
So I won't say that I was triggered, but when I look at the Jay Molly situation, I say, here's another classic case of people not understanding what it's like to love someone with depression. Mm. Because if you read the messages that his mom was sending and you put yourself in her shoes or people that care about him, and I think he's wrong for doing what he did. But thank God they found him. Thank God he's getting help now. And, you know, people on Twitter, they're unkind, bro.
Definitely.
We're so fucking unkind on social media. So I just want to say a special shout out to my goat, MT. He probably doesn't remember that he saved this guy's life, but he did. MT has in a way, saved Jay Molly's life because... Once again, and this speaks to what I was saying, that you should do for people that are struggling, right?
Mm.
When Jay Molly woke up out of that coma and he got back on social media, what was he finding? He just found thousands and thousands of people making jokes. I mean, I read one comment where they were like, yo, when you get up there, tell Nelson Mandela the shit's going wrong here. Travel safely, you know? Like, yo, guys. And it is funny. It's a good joke.
It is. You know? It's funny, bro.
But he also found one tweet from one artist in the entire industry who just said, hey, yo, dog, let's work on a song.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's work on a song. Not, are you okay? I'm praying for you. You'll bounce back from this. Nah. What does this guy love to do? He loves to make music.
Of course.
And he found a talented artist saying, let's make a song. And that helped get Jay Molly out of that bed. It helped get his clothes on that day.
Yeah.
And he went to the studio to go record with purpose. So if you can be that MT in that situation, just be that person. Find a way to do something that they love with that person.
Bro, I'm curious, man. I'm very curious. Did you have like a suicide note or your last message?
I hadn't got there yet. So like I said, I think it's a process. It's something that I don't think anybody that goes through that painful experience and takes it all the way. I don't think you wake up one morning and have your very first suicidal thought and take your life that day.
Yeah.
It takes months, days, years, decades. You constantly think about it. And in actual fact, people that do end up taking their own lives, it's like, fuck it, I'm tired. For more than anything, it's like, I'm tired of thinking about this.
Okay.
If you're going to think about this for so long, when are you gonna, then you'll have that conversation with yourself of, oh, if you're so brave, do it.
Do it.
You know? And I wasn't there yet, Saul. So to answer your question, no. I hadn't written a note or anything like that. I was testing the poll. Literally.
Speaking about killing, there's a story that I saw during the week about Rosemary Ndlovu.
Rosemary Ndlovu?
Yes.
Ooh.
That insurance murderer lady.
Ooh. Yeah. So the Polokwane High Court has sentenced 47-year-old woman named Kiriboni Nyathi for murdering her husband so she can get insurance money in December 2020.
Where's Kiriboni now? Kiriboni!
Her name is
Kiriboni!
Kiriboni Nyathi pleaded guilty to killing her husband.
Wow.
She's been given 6 life sentences for a string of murders she orchestrated. What's your take on that, Ghost Lady?
Well, you know what? I think we've spoken about this previously, saying that the people, you get family members who like insure your members, but you don't even let them know with these bad ulterior motives of like just getting money. So it's like there's an easy way out. And you, someone like even Rosemary, this woman was a police officer and knew exactly how to go about it, even advising on how people should be killed so that to make it easier to claim that insurance money. So it's just, I think we need to be open with each other, even families, and just declare. Like, I think, when was it, Saul? You were talking about, was it you? About the Jewish community, where they are very open, whether it's your parents and saying, okay, we will pay for your amount, for the money, for your policies, I've covered you, and it's okay. No one is planning anything, any ill will. It's fine. It's okay to have these conversations with families. Yeah, I think that's true. It.
But like, that's what you get for Nyathi.
We've been dark for a while now, but. One take from the Rosemary Ndlovu
situation.
Didn't
get that one, eh?
Yeah. One take from that situation
to the show.
Is, guys, phone insurance companies and find out if anybody's got a fucking policy in your name isn't you.
Nah, but you see, I wanted to say, I get that, but you can't call all 12, 20 of them. Insurance companies are also irresponsible by, I go to them, I take out a life insurance on you, and they don't find a way of notifying you, you know what I mean? They don't find a way of saying, how can we find this guy, ankle tap, here's his ID. They can surely find your contact and be like, are you aware that there is a life insurance taken out on you? Because the thing is, it could happen to any one of us. A cousin, a distant cousin, who lays their hands on your ID, they could easily cover you. Jiggy jiggy, you're killed, and they've got to pay out one
day. I could have a policy on your life, you don't even know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're very good with the CEO at YFM. They still have my ID, so it could be possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you don't know. So it's up to the insurance companies to literally notify the people who have got life covers taken out in their name. I think Lebo M went through something similar, where he was fighting with his wife and an insurance company. He was trying to find out, am I covered or not? And they didn't want to let him know. And it became a huge thing.
So you get divorced, right? And then you come work at UFM. Now you're single, living your best life.
Yeah.
And then you move into a complex in Harties where my soul lives.
Oh, Makelo.
All of the above is true. By the way, how big is
my soul in Rustenburg?
My
is soul,
he big?
My Shout soul. Out to my soul.
My soul, my soul.
Whoa.
Soul, my soul.
Does anyone know my soul here?
They know my soul.
You know my soul? Please give him a mic there. No. Please give him a mic, this guy.
Behind you.
Yeah, this guy in the back, in the black. You know my soul, Chief? Yeah? Yeah. How do you know my soul?
Barmini.
Inda.
Kaizo. Yeah, I do know my soul. Eh?
How do you know him?
The first time I met him face to face, personally, it was on a closing date, on a closing party, the company.
Yeah.
It was held Go Tales. I was there. You know what this guy did, ne?
What did he do?
I don't want to be on the limelight. But this guy said to every employee, yahahe are, every one of you will get triple their salary. Triple their salary. I'm not lying to you.
Wow.
You,
man, that is beautiful.
Triple your salary just for a Christmas present. I'm telling you, I was there face to face.
How rich
I'm
is...
serious.
How rich is my soul? Wow.
Sorry?
How rich is my soul?
Yo, he's huge. That's not he's even richer a question, than you, McGee.
Yeah, he's richer than you, my man. He's richer than you.
My G.
Oh, he's richer than you. McGee, I'm taking chances, Papa.
I tell you what, I can give you a story. You ask how rich is my soul, right?
Yeah.
So I live in the same estate as my soul, right?
Yeah.
And there was an email that was sent out from the homeowners association, right? So in this particular estate, there's a lot of mansions, a lot of houses, but there's also like a lot of open stands that are like still for sale. You can buy and build on it, right?
Yeah.
So this email comes out saying, we would just like to remind all the residents of the estate that you are not allowed to park cars, or your guests are not allowed to park cars on an open stand. Now, we all know who that email was directed at, because at any given point, I think there's about 40 cars, yeah, my soul, fuck,
whoa,
parked there. And one day we just saw a sign that said sold on the stand. And the emails stopped coming. So if you can buy a stand just to park your cars.
Wow.
Yo, levels.
Ooh, bro, yeah. I want to meet this guy, man. His hit list is crazy, bro.
Hit list of ladies.
Yeah.
Damn, you know the hit list?
You?
I don't know nothing about that.
Your
own neighbor.
Your neighbor.
You see. Your neighbor.
I'm sure you've seen some influencers.
I wish. I had even met him face to face. The guy that just spoke is lucky enough to have met him face to face. I just saw him passing me in a Bentley every day.
What's the hit list looking like, bro? Who's on the hit list?
You tell us.
He's an ass, oh boy.
I don't know, man.
No, you don't know.
Now you don't know.
Maybe one day we'll have him on the show. But how crazy was it staying in Harties? Like, you were getting up to some wild shit, ne?
Harties is a very quiet town where the wildest shit happens.
Yeah.
That's a fact, right? So weekends are quite wild. We're getting into wild season now. So actually now from the start of June till about end of October, that's wild season in Harties, right?
Yeah.
Because it's winter, but Harties is not that cold, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus there's this thing called the hyacinth, which grows on the dam, which makes it hard to take your boat out onto the water. That thing dies in winter. So the guys have been waiting to take their boat out the whole of summer, you understand? In Harties, summer bodies are made in winter. I've had some wild parties, man. The only problem with Harties is that there is no store in Harties, like nothing. There's no stock in Harties.
So you gotta import.
You're importing from Rustenburg?
Not even Rustenburg. Like, Joburg. The guys, I've seen guys, I've been part of a party where there's guys that live in Harties that call two Uber vans. The one Uber van was coming from Harankua.
Damn.
And the other one was coming from Protea. Now, if you know Soweto, you know how far Protea is even. Protea is in Linasia. It's not even in Soweto. Each Uber van was 3.7. They paid 7,400 rand in Uber costs to get 22 girls to Braai House in Harties.
Wow.
Damn. Four guys, 24 girls.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, rock stars. Oh. Wow.
You're not cutting yourself in there.
Yeah.
Well, three guys plus me.
Who are the other three guys?
I didn't pay, though.
So what's crazy for me, I want to talk about how black people spend their money versus white people, right? Because the richest white person I know, he doesn't have a car, bro. He takes Ubers because he says it's cheaper.
Like his whole life, he takes
Ubers. Yeah. And then the richest black guy I know has like 18 cars.
Sure.
Like, because you are half black, half white.
Hi, bro.
Nah, man, he's white.
I'm a white guy.
He's a white guy, man. He's Bryce Clark.
What's your take on like...
Well, some nights I'm half.
Yeah. What's your take on like how we spend money and stuff?
Listen, white people just want to go on holiday, bro.
Let me tell you, like, white people are programmed to just want to spend their money traveling. I don't know what it is, but like even in my own family, if I go home and I tell my sister, my mom, my cousins, they're sitting around at home, and I'll come back and I'll be like, yo, last night was lit at the club. The guy we were with, the bill was 120,000. We were at Konka, the bill's 120,000. The first thing my sister's going to say, she's so quick, travel maths in the head. Yeah. She's going to go, that's a trip for 40 Mauritius, hey? Why would you? On alcohol. On alcohol, they spend 120,000. Yeah. Oh, my God. They could just go to Paris. Yeah. So I don't know. White people like traveling, man.
Yeah.
And I guess Uber is a form of travel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
What do you think, Penduka?
No, I mean, I just think for the longest time, black people, we've always not been seen, not been respected.
Yeah.
And so it's a thing of buying the respect. So you know what I mean? White people...
Like looking for attention.
Yeah, not necessarily. More like looking for validation.
Okay.
To say that I got the money. When I walk in the store, you must see.
They must know.
Yeah, when I pull up, they must know because of that respect thing. You know, and a white guy can just show up, he automatically gets the respect, especially from us, whether it be walking into a store, walking into a restaurant. A white guy can show up in Crocs and all the waitresses will be like, he'll probably tip well and rush to him.
Yeah.
For them to think that of a black guy, he has to smell good, look good, have the watch, have the car keys. Then they'll be like, yeah, he's going to tip well. Then they'll give him preferential treatment. So I think we're just trying to buy validation and respect, which we haven't had for generations.
Thanks. Wow. Beautiful. That's beautiful.
So My soul.
It comes from somewhere.
The guy's named Saul, eh?
And to not say, it still makes it dumb how we spend it, but it's deep-rooted and it stems from somewhere.
So you know that my goat, in terms of Amapiano, is Kabza.
Yeah.
He just recently released a 15-minute track.
Yeah.
Ghost Lady, you were listening to it yesterday. What did you think of it?
No, it's a beautiful track. It's Kabza. You know, it's got that, you know, the spirituality in it. It just takes you there. But the 15 minutes was a bit too long.
Yeah, you can't play that in the club, bro. That's 45 minutes gone of your set.
Yeah, the promoter will want a refund of some sort.
I won't lie, it's smart. If you think about it, right? They say that we play the same shit on every radio station is playing the same shit. Kabza is now the first guy that can, he can chop his song up into pieces and send a different piece to a different radio station, right? One song,
that
four radio stations,
yeah.
Four different versions.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's like 3-4 songs within that. There's Nkosazana's part, there's the Youngstunner part, there is the Mtunzi part, and they all have their own breaks. So it's literally 4 songs if you look at it.
Yeah.
And it could easily do that. But Calvin Momo has been doing it.
22-minute Everybody Momo.
Yeah.
Everybody King. Momo.
King.
And I'm so sad because like we're missing out on the show that he has in Gold Reef City.
Yeah, I'm attending it tomorrow.
Oh, you going tomorrow?
I'm going, it's 2 nights. I'm going tomorrow, yeah.
Ooh,
The Symphonic.
What's your take on my piano? Because I know you like Gom, bro. You love your Gom.
I love Gom.
The druggy music, yeah?
I said right, Gom. Mm.
It's Gom.
Did you call it druggy music?
Yeah, you did.
Did you just call it Gom druggy music? Hip-hop is druggy music. But anyway... I don't see Gom guys pouring Benelin into a Sprite.
But we see them with jaws that just move, like, you know. On their lives. You have not?
I think it's limited to Durban. I think it's very much still alive in KZN.
Yeah.
Like
even
has
Eastern
been proven
Cape,
recently, KZN will shock you. You know what I mean? When you think they're not a thing, they are a thing. I just like that. I like the fast
pace. Who did you vote for?
Who did I vote for?
Yeah.
What do we want? I vote for Eugene, dog.
No, who did you vote for?
He wasn't running.
Who did you vote for? Let's be honest.
I guess you could call me Tinswalo. Malume Tinswalo.
Hey, you voted for ANC.
By the way, what happened in the Northwest? Because you all voted for ANC. What was going on, guys?
Hey.
Wait. Yeah. Hold up. Whoa. You are from Limpopo. You can't talk. Did you see the numbers in Limpopo?
72%.
So you guys are happy with the ANC and what it's doing for your province? The votes don't say no. The votes say yeah. The votes say, my Cyril, you know?
Can we speak to someone who voted for ANC here? Okay, cool. Can you give him the mic, please?
They can't, yeah.
Yeah, give him the mic. Yeah, hey, this guy here.
Bukoni Bupirim.
This is Tintualo.
this is the province of Tintualos.
What's your name, bro?
Hi, Chillers. My name is Andre. I'm not Tintualo, by the way. the reason I voted for ANC is because I splitted my vote. I don't know if you guys know what splitting a vote is, but I did that.
Shout out, bro.
Listen.
He spoiled his votes.
Split the votes.
Oh.
Yeah. You see, my G over there did not know what is to split a vote. So I voted ANC at national level.
Yeah.
Because in my own perspective, there's no party that can handle what's happening in SA right now but ANC.
ANC caused what's happening in SA.
It's fine. I respect you all for your vote. Please respect me as well. And
I continue, man. Cook, continue.
Let him cook.
Let me finish.
Let him cook, yeah.
Let me finish.
He sounds like our president now.
I voted for ANC at national level, yeah. Provincial level. I voted EAF, EFF,
but,
and then regional EFF.
But bro, we're asking who voted for ANC provincially based on the provincial numbers because ANC won Northwest.
Oh, I didn't get that. But were you specific with that? I don't think that's what he asked.
Man.
Is that what you asked?
Yeah,
that's
what he asked.
We're going to clip you on that.
No, his question was who voted for ANC?
Because you guys
have voted for ANC.
Yeah.
Because ANC won the province.
You want to rephrase your question, so McGee?
No. We got the answer. Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Cool.
Thank you. But I want to know which party do you guys like, though? Okay. Make some noise if it's ANC. EFF.
That doesn't make sense. Shout out.
You see?
Wow.
Put your hand up.
Wow. Okay. I think that's clear enough, hey, ghost lady.
But this reminds me of the same thing that we see on Twitter. You know, the noise is loud for other parties.
EFF.
And then, like, now no one says they voted for the ANC. But when the results come out, it's all ANC. It just doesn't make sense.
All right, ghost lady, before we leave, anything else you want to talk about?
There was a story that I stumbled upon with Amakipkip. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, Amakipkip.
Yeah, with Amakipkip. So they're having an issue because they've got a shop at Mall of Africa.
Yes.
And they are struggling that side with, because they're actually about to be literally evicted from the mall because of, like they said, there's tendencies of discrimination and just being looked down upon. So even the owner was asking, I just forgot his name, Modise.
Nkosana
Modise, yeah. Asking just for guys to just rally around them and, you know, just to expose this nonsense happening. Like, I don't know how you guys felt about that.
Well, I think there's a new white owner there and they thought they were literally selling Amakipkip.
after so many years.
They're like, no vendors allowed. Yeah.
He's like, you don't need a store in Mall of Africa to sell Amakipkip. sell it outside like everybody else.
Wait, they've chased out of Mall of Africa. Yeah,
which is sad, man, because you see a lot of black companies, you know, struggling to get into the retail space.
Yeah. Nah, man, it's messed up. I really think it's messed up because they said they didn't give them any reason. The guys have been paying their rent normally, and then chiggy-chiggy, they were told, yo, you guys got to move out, which is messed up. And I feel like, you know, what's most likely is going to happen, which is also why I'm a bit sad that the EFF hasn't been growing the way it ought to be growing, because they're the party that's on the ground. They are the ones who are probably going to go to Mall of Africa and ask the tough and the serious questions. You know what I mean? And ANC is not going to pull up and do that.
Definitely.
The DA is not going to do that. You know, so I think it's quite messed up, man, especially if you call yourself Mall of Africa, but you're trying to close African businesses down.
That makes no sense,
bro. That's painful.
Yeah.
I think you still have a Amakipkip shirt, no?
I do,
I won't lie. This is all news to me. I didn't know there was an Amakipkip store in Mall of Africa.
No, there is.
I don't know when last I went to Mall of Africa. Plus, I don't understand the whole rugby jersey thing that they were doing. Like, for me, Amakipkip is still the, you know, the three triangles, like Amakipkip.
Original.
I still have an original one. It's probably like 13 or 14 years old, that shit. But it's starting to get tired, you know? I've even had to use, like, blow cell. Do you know what blow cell is?
What's blow cell?
When you need blow cell to make the white again. So I only take that one out on special occasions because it's like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get a proper Amakipkip shirt anymore.
Yeah, no, but we need Amakipkip, man. We need them.
Yeah, we need Amakipkip because Amakipkip birthed a lot of brands. They were the first, like, local brand that just did so well nationally.
Oh, what about Lokshin Culture, too?
Lokshin Culture.
Lokshin Culture crawled so that the rest could walk. Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about, Penduka?
Yeah, it's messed up. Did you see in Joburg that seizure? They got like 400 million rands worth of counterfeit goods with Chinese and Ethiopians. Just it was like now, today. And I think that's like the craziest thing, bro.
What? Is that drug related? Like what?
No, it's like just goods.
Like fake groceries.
Fake groceries, fake shoes, fake brands and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we need a cleanup of the country as a whole. I just saw that. I don't know what you think about that.
Ah, man, that shit is always around, dog. You can't escape that shit, dog.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, bro.
I mean, you all saw the toilet with the pipe that was going up and connecting to the water dispensary that they were selling water in the store.
Huh? No way!
I promise you.
Yeah, so it was filtered.
So the filter, you know when you go into a store and they've got the filter water, you can buy a bottle or come with your own bottle.
Yeah.
And buy water.
Like a checkers.
That water, they traced the pipe back to the toilet at the back room.
Yeah.
And that's where the water was coming from that they were selling to people.
Wow, that's insane, bro.
No regard whatsoever.
Anything else that's been on your mind, Malume Pompo?
Anything that's been on my mind, I think we touched on it, but it's worth speaking about it again. Just how toxic social media has become. Right?
Oh, it's the devil. It's the devil.
Did you see now they're trying to cancel Robot Boy over the Jazzic thing?
For real?
Because he didn't want to
speak. Apparently, there was some podcast that made a phone call and it caused problems. But the mere fact that it trended after you guys spoke about it, right? Just goes to show that like social media, it's for vibes.
But you were telling us that Jazzic came to your show before you went to IFM and he was hitting on your producer, yeah?
Nah. I never said that.
He literally said it, though.
I did not say that. I said he was late, right? They were about 45 minutes late for the interview because they were picking up Robot Boy. So I think we only got about 6 minutes in total with the guys. That interview was like
Believe he did it.
I'm not in a position to say I believe or I don't believe what someone did, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And the matter's in court, so you just actually want to get me into shit. And at the start of this interview, you mentioned the fact that you celebrated when you thought I was fired. So I was tired, but I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah.
Do you think he did?
Yeah, like, I said it in the podcast before. Like, he moves weird, so I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, you said based on his lives, right?
Yeah.
And the stuff they would talk about or the manner of engagement.
But Malume Pompo, we want to say thank you so much for coming through, man. Really appreciate
salute,
it.
Man.
Make some noise for Ankle Tap, man.
I also want to salute you guys. The last time I was here was episode 10. You guys can go rewind and check back. That episode was shot with a phone. I think it was my phone, right?
Yeah, it was.
Wow, bro.
And we didn't realize that the phone like fucked out. So like 10 minutes into it. And the entire interview, you can only see like half our heads. Like, and all these episodes later, to be doing it in front of a live audience right here in beautiful Rustenburg.
Yeah.
Sponsored Live Nation tour, 1 million subscribers. I remember something you said to me, Mac, on that day before we shot that episode, episode 10, right? You were so chuffed because the previous video had got something like 87 views or like it was pushing towards 100, right? And one thing I'll tell you about MacGyver, right, is he's a genuine guy in that you were really chuffed. Like you weren't being funny about it. You were just genuinely enthusiastic. You were the first guy to start podcasting in the country. Everybody else. I can tell you the first thing that everybody says to me, right? When they're like, why did you leave? Why? They're like, you should start a podcast. And you know what my answer is? Watch fucking podcast and chill. There is a podcast and everybody's trying to imitate what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Salute. And you can see, man, the love right here in Northwest. Yeah. Look at the love.
Wow, bro.
And then we go in a coconut lounge after this.
Hey?
And then you're going to see some love, yo.
Shout out to you, man. Malume Pompo. Make some noise for Axel Tap one more time.
Shout out to you, bro.
Thank you, bro. So before we go, we got to mention a big shout out to our sponsors today. Thank you so much to Ferro Auto Investments. They're the guys that drove us here. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We've been staying at King's Palace,
which
is an amazing
beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
I want to do the spa. They also have a spa offering. I think it's called Unique.
Oh, yes.
Unique Spa. And then they've got nice winter specials coming up as well.
Beautiful.
If you want to stay there in winter, very beautiful hotel, man. King's Palace, yeah?
King's Palace. We were there last night. They had a house event at the rooftop.
Yeah,
but you left early. You left early.
Bar, hey?
Yeah, you left early, no?
Yeah. I've got a family member that I pulled through. No, and I've got family this side.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Big shout out to Striped Horse as well. You know, Striped Horse is always showing us love.
Woo!
Striped Horse, shout out, man.
So the next stop is Mpumalanga. That's where we're going to next. It's the last and the finale of the podcast Live Nation tour.
Oh.
So this year we reached out. We were like, you know what? Let's go on the road, see the Chillers, because it's always amazing to see you guys.
Dude.
Do you think we should do another nationwide tour next year?
Woo!
I think that's a yes.
Sounds like a yes. Resounding
like a
yes.
We try to get Casper, by the way, for this show.
Oh, yeah, we tried.
We tried.
Yeah, but now our second choice.
No, you weren't second. Second choice was Capo.
Yo, that choice was my soul.
If we can't get Casper, let's see if what do you say, Capo?
Capo, yeah.
Let's hope Capo will tell us about Casper.
Yeah, we're hoping that. And Capo was like, yeah, he'll do it. And then he blue ticked this out of nowhere. He just started.
He was running, dog. He was probably running a marathon.
But as always, you guys know that we are nothing without you guys. So we want to send so much love to you guys. Thank you so much for coming through. And as you guys know, it's not just us who make this possible. So I'd like to bring out the team right now. Dudu, our producer, please come on stage.
Dudu.
Hey, Tuso.
Everybody.
Tuso's there. Tuso, please come on stage. Tuso. Black Studio.
Black Studios. Neo,
Black Studios.
Tabang.
Dudu.
Guys, remember what my mother said. You guys must do something for us. You guys must do something for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Simpiwe, where's Simpiwe?
Simpiwe,
come on stage.
Simpiwe, blowjob. And Simpiwe's assistant.
DJ Mungi.
Shane,
Fact checker, Matamela, our social media person.
Everybody
come on stage. Everybody come on stage, man.
The social media
big shout out
team.
To Tibla from Black Studio, Fact checker.
Hey, man, one mele makone, imelanlana, one mele makone.
So, what do you guys have in store for us? You must do something, Chief. Eh? You must do something. Where's Jason? Where's Jason? Where's Jason and everybody else?
Jason,
Kayla, everybody. Where's everybody, man? Come on stage. Come on stage. Come on stage. Jason. Big shout out to Jason for making this happen.
Doo-doo.
Big shout out to Kayla, our social media person. All right, so remember my mom said they must do something for us. They just can't come instead, right? So they've prepared something for you guys. Simpiwe, can you hit the music there? Let's see what you guys got for us. Time is money, Chief.
They prepared something.
Tato, don't look at me, Chief.
They don't look prepared.
They don't look prepared.
What are you guys doing?
Is that it?
DJ.
All right, let's go. Give it up for the Podcast and Chill crew.
That's it! Hey, Skomota, is that you?
Y'all should have probably led with that.
Hey! Big shout out to the crew one more time, guys. Thank you so much. We love you guys. After party is at Aqua Lounge. Podcast and chill. We out of here. Boom. Yo. One more time to the podcast and chill. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for welcoming us. After party, Vogue Lounge. Siyabangena. What do we want? When do we want?